All right. So, all right, we are going to start right now. We're starting a new series for the summer, calling it Discipleship 101. So, and it's really just the basics of living the Christian life. What we want to cover is not anything that's going to be too new, but hopefully things that will be encouraging and helpful. And just because we know that everyone who's a Christian probably knows, should be reading scripture, should be praying, should be serving in some way, should be giving of your time, money, your talents. But how you actually do that, what that actually looks like in your specific life, can look different from person to person and can be challenging to figure out how to make that all work. Since we're all busy people, I'll have a lot of things going on, and that our actual discipleship can fall by the wayside. And we don't want it to. We want to be a growing church in terms of our roots, in terms of our spiritual maturity. And we know that if we are a growing church in that way, that will help us to be a growing church when it comes to seeing visitors come, seeing people come to faith, important things like that. So it's all working together to be, we want CPC to be a growing church in every way. So I wanted to start with a definition of discipleship. Has anyone heard some other definition of discipleship, or something you've heard that you think might be helpful, or that might not actually be helpful that you've heard out there? What do you think of when you think of discipleship?
Teaching.
Okay. Mentoring. Yeah. Mentoring. Yeah, that's a really, those two things. If you think about the Gospels, you have the people who are called disciples of Jesus who follow him. He's, you know, more than a rabbi, but he is a rabbi, and he does have students who are learning from him as he goes and teaches, and they observe the way he lives, and hopefully, and although we know not, they don't do it very consistently, model themselves after him. Any other definitions of discipleship? No? Okay. So what I came up with, which is not original to me, is discipleship is following Jesus with head, heart, and hands. So head, what you believe, knowing the truth, knowing God's word, knowing what he's revealed about himself. Heart, what you love. Not just knowing the truth, but actually loving the truth, loving God, and loving our neighbors. So often I think in Reformed circles, we kind of think of ourselves as brains on a stick and not as actual full-blown people. And we are certainly thinking beings, but we are also, and even primarily, we are beings, we are people who love certain things. And we want to love the right things and have the things that we love guided by the truth. So head, heart, and then hands. It's not just about knowing the right things or even loving the right things. It's about letting those things shape you into a person who does the right things, who serves, who shares the gospel, who encourages, who is simply God's person, wherever he has set you down, wherever he's called you to be. So that's kind of the big umbrella of what we think about when it comes to discipleship. Now, there is a biblical mandate for it all over, but I thought of three passages in particular. So can someone look up Colossians 1:28? And I'll give them all out at once. So who's got Colossians 1:28 as you look it up? Greg? Okay. And then Terry, could you look up 2 Peter 1:5-7? And then one more volunteer, Benjamin. Ephesians 4:22-24. So, Greg, if you have Colossians, you can read that.
Okay. Then we proclaim, warning everyone and teaching everyone with all wisdom, that we may present everyone mature in Christ.
So that's the goal of discipleship. That's the goal of, in one sense at least, that's the goal of the ministry of the church, is to present everyone mature in Christ, to have everyone grow, to have everyone being shaped more and more into the image of Christ. So that's one thing that gives us the mandate for discipleship. Do you have 2 Peter, Terry?
Oh,
that's okay. 1:5-7.
But also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love.
Thank you. So you see there all these things that we want to see in ourselves as growing believers. And I think it's good to say here that I want to be absolutely clear. No one is saved by their discipleship, by how well they follow Jesus. That is not the foundation. It's not the ground of your salvation. The ground of your salvation is the finished work of Christ that is absolutely assured. If you have faith in him, you are saved. But having said that, you're not saved by your good works. You're not saved because of your good works, even your good works of discipleship. You are saved for good works. You are saved for, in part, growing in faith, growing to understand more of the truth, growing to love the right things, growing to do the right things. So one of the reasons that God saves us is so that we might grow. So I've heard it said, and I think it's right, God accepts us just as we are. You come to him as you are by faith in Christ, but by the power of his Spirit, he's not going to leave you as you are. He is going to work so that you turn more and more away from sin and turn more and more in faith to Christ. So, and you see that from the 2 Peter passage, just everything that builds on our growth in the gospel, our knowledge, self-control, steadfastness, godliness, brotherly affection, and love. And really, you could take the head, heart, and hands and take all of those things that are mentioned in the 2 Peter passage and fit it under one of those headings. So then, who has Ephesians 4? Can you read that?
Ephesians 4:22. That you put off concerning your former conduct the old man, grows corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which was created according to God, in true righteousness and holiness.
Thank you. So you see just what the goal is, to put off your old self and to put on the new self. The old self is dying, is corrupted, is deceitful. The new self, you're being renewed by the power of the Spirit. And you're actually renewing the image of God. We all, even people who are not believers, still bear the image of God to some degree, but it is murky and shadowed. When you are in Christ, the image of God, because of the power of the Spirit, is actually renewed in you more and more. And that's what it says here, renewed in the likeness of God, the image of God, in true righteousness and holiness. So that's the mandate for discipleship. Any questions on that? Does anyone object to the call to grow in faith? Hopefully not. And if you did, you probably would. Oh,
No, I'm not.
Okay.
Sorry, I shouldn't have raised my hand.
Oh, man, that freaked me out for a minute.
I had a
comment. No, it's fine. Yes.
It's interesting because, like, I feel like in the broader church, the word discipleship isn't really talking about our growing in Christ. It's like at least in our old church, it was like, you have a discipleship partner. And, you know, it was more about, like, relationships with person who's
right.
So
it's more
like
mentoring than
anything
else.
Yeah, that's like
else.
The context I've always heard this word.
And I think that there's some truth to that, because I think one of the ways we can grow is by learning from someone who's further down the road than we are and hopefully more mature than we are, but I think it's broader. Because I think discipleship in the end is the work of God's Spirit and not any program or anything that we try to do, although we can do things that can be helpful to that. So, yeah, it's not just that. And I have heard that in that same way. Yeah. Anything else? Okay. So, oh, yes, sorry.
What then would be the difference between discipleship and sanctification as we're defining them here?
Not too much. Okay. I don't think there's too much that would... I think sanctification would be more theological, talking about what happens, how God accomplishes sanctification, and discipleship would be based certainly firmly in sanctification, but there'd be a little more freedom to talk about how we're going to do it. Not that we do it, but how the church, we're going to use the means that God has given to sanctify us. Does that help? Yeah, I think that's a good question, because they are related, but they are also distinct in some ways. But that brings us to how we grow, and that is what I'm calling the general means of discipleship. Or sorry, I have two different versions of this. The universal means of discipleship. So that sounds big, doesn't it? But what I mean by that is universal. This is just everyone, every Christian can and should be growing through these means. And it's distinct from the particular means of discipleship because even though everyone should be involved in worship, should be reading scripture, should be thinking about how they can serve, thinking about stewardship and things like that, that is something that applies to everyone. The particular means of discipleship acknowledges that everyone's different. Everyone is starting at a different place. If you grew up in the church and you've been a Christian since you were 5 years old or less, then probably you have a better understanding of some of these things than someone else who's new to the faith. And at the same time, everyone has different things going on in life. So a mother to small children, the way that she pursues discipleship is going to be different from the way that an empty nester who has lots of time is going to pursue discipleship. Not that all empty nesters have lots of time, but some do. So that's what I mean by the difference between universal and particular. Universal applies to everyone. Particular really is saying, how can you grow in your specific situation? So hopefully that makes sense. So this really is just an intro to what we're going to talk about in coming weeks. But the universal means of discipleship are worship. And by that, we mean public worship. So coming to church on Sunday, worshiping God. Coming, actually, not just coming and being here, but being prepared to be here. Having a worshipful spirit while you are at church. But it also means private and family worship. So, you know, in other circles, you might call this your quiet time, your devotionals, your family Bible reading, whatever that looks like. And those are means of grace. We so often treat them like a checklist item. Like, all right, been to church, so I can check that off. I've did my Bible reading and prayer maybe 3 out of 7 days this week, so that's pretty good. And we did family worship maybe once or 0 times. But we want to see all those things increasing because they're not checklist items. They are means of grace. They are ways that God works in ourselves and in our families and in our church. So we want to actually acknowledge that they are means of grace. So we'll talk about those things. We'll talk about what worship looks like when we are here, but also what worship looks like throughout the week when we are just by ourselves or in our families. So we will talk about that. And that worship involves a lot of things that fall under this that are pretty commonly acknowledged to be keys to discipleship, and that is scripture. So whether you're reading scripture or hearing the preaching of God's word, that's important. The sacraments, which is for public worship. Do not do sacraments by yourself. Please don't. Prayer. We pray when we are together as the congregation, but you also pray when you are by yourself and in your families. So we want to talk about both, all the ways that you pray. Praise. Certainly we sing But we want to encourage people to incorporate praise into private worship and family worship as well. So we will talk about all of that. So that's worship. Then stewardship, and this people worry about, like, we're just going to talk about money. Benjamin's doing this one, so he can field all the questions. No, when we talk about stewardship, we're not just talking about, you know, tithing, writing your check. That's one important way that we are stewards of what God has given to us. But we're also talking about your time, how you use your time. You are accountable to God for what you do every day. Talking about how you use the gifts that he's given you that have, you can't put any price tag, any monetary price tag on it, but how God has given each one of us in this room and in this church unique gifts, and we are called to use them for his glory. And so how do you use the old cliche, your time, talent, and treasure? How are you a good steward of those things? And it's a cliche because it's actually a pretty helpful way to think about it. So we'll talk about stewardship. Benjamin will talk about stewardship on August 4th. Then we'll talk about service. And that really goes along with stewardship, but we want to talk about ways that you can serve in your family, of course, how you can serve your family and actually help the children of our church, help our families grow, but also how you can serve at CPC. And we are a small church plant. We are not a big, you know, Crossroads down on Ontario is huge. And if you want to serve at Crossroads, there are probably, I don't think I'm exaggerating to say that there are hundreds of opportunities for how you can serve at Crossroads. But even though we're small, that doesn't mean that there are no ways that you can serve at CPC. And we want to make people aware of them. And we want to actually have some new ways that people can serve. So that's what we'll talk about on July 21st. So that is the general, universal means of discipleship. Do you have any questions on those? Okay. Now we're going to talk about the particular means of discipleship, and this is something new. We really want to be helpful as a session to the church, to CPC, to everyone who's part of CPC, to help people to grow in grace, grow in godliness. And one of the ways that is new for us, but also very old, is to do elder visits, to meet with people at their homes or wherever is convenient. And when people hear this, they get freaked out, I'm sure, about what's going to happen. But you should not get freaked out. It is really for the benefit of your growth in grace. One way that the elders actually care for you, actually are under shepherds of the great shepherd, and that is to just visit with people. So I want to talk a little bit about what that looks like, the answer to those questions, what, when, and why. So the what is really just, we want to get together probably one or more, probably two elders, visiting the families of the church, visiting single people, whatever works out for doing that. So we want to actually do that. We want to sit down with people, get to know them better, make sure that we are caring well for Corona Presbyterian Church. So where does this come from? Well, it comes from all the scripture passages that you could talk about that talk about shepherding God's flock, caring and actually laying down your life in a lot of ways for God's people. More directly, that's probably the most direct way, but we have in our Book of Church Order, when it talks about what an elder does, let me read this. This is from The Form of Government, Chapter 10, Section 3. How exciting is that? Elders are to watch diligently over the people committed to their charge to prevent corruption of doctrine or morals. Evils which they cannot correct by private admonition they should bring to the notice of the session. They should visit the people. This is the key part. They should visit the people, especially the sick, instruct the ignorant, comfort the mourning, and nourish and guard the children of the covenant. They should pray with and for the people. That's what the elders are to do. And lots of times in church plants, in the OPC, the struggle is, we want to do this, but we just haven't done it. It's easy for this to fall by the wayside and people to get really busy, both the session and the congregation to get too busy to make this happen. But we want to make it happen at CPC, and we want to do what God has called us to do. So I know probably some of you have talked to our elders, probably Kurt Oliver or Dave Crum, since they're the ones who are most often here, about setting up meetings. This would kind of fall under that, but we're going to do it systematically throughout the year, just meet with the families and everyone who's starting with members. But we also want to care for regular attenders and even, you know, with certainly for visitors as well. So the what is visits of 1 to 2 elders at homes, in an elder's home potentially, or somewhere else that's convenient. The main goal is to serve you, to encourage you, to pray for you, to encourage you from God's word, and to see any ways that we can be of help to you. So lots of times when you hear about elders visiting, you think they're there to kind of be bloodhounds to sniff out the sin that's in your life, and that's not what we're doing. That is really just more positively to care for you and to let you know that you are cared for by the church and by those who God has called to be officers in his church. So the motivation for this is love. We love you. We want to care for you. And we also know that as elders, we are accountable for you. So Hebrews 13:17 should make any elder or someone who's considering being an elder shake in their boots. And that says, obey your leaders and submit to them, for they are keeping watch over your souls as those who will have to give an account. Let them do this with joy and not with groaning, for that would be of no advantage to you. So your elders are those who will give an account for you to some degree. They are those who will be held responsible by God for your growth in godliness. And we want to do that job well. I have been an elder for, let's see, less than a month. But I want to start out well and want to start out doing this to actually fulfill that calling. So that's what the motivation is. Care for you, but also knowledge of the serious fact that your elders will be held accountable for you and for your growth in godliness. One thing to compare it, you can compare it to, is an annual physical. So this isn't your doctor coming to say, hey, it looks like you've got some illness. It's you going to your doctor and just talking about life. When you go to a physical, your doctor has questions for you, and your elders will have questions for you. We want to talk about how life is going. How's it going? Are you finding it easy to read scripture? Is it difficult? How's your prayer life? How's everything going in relationships within the family and things like that? So those are questions that your elders have for you, just like your doctor has questions for you at a physical. But normally, you come to your doctor with questions as well. So we want and expect and hope that you'll have questions for your elders. Whether it's, it doesn't have to be anything super serious, but if you want to know about what's going on at CPC, what the vision is for the coming months and years, do you have a question?
I was just going to point out in support of your overall point that, you know, fast forward 2 or 3 years and we have, say, 3 elders that are here all the time. The elders will get elder visits too. It's everybody. It's not, because it can seem like it's like, here come the elders to send them.
Right.
You're saying. But no, Andrew will take another elder and go visit the elder. And the elders will go with Andrew and Rebecca to check on him. And it really is a mutual oversight and benefit.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, so it's for everybody. It's to acknowledge that we want to care for one another. So to continue the physical, because the elders need a physical just as much as anybody else. if you have questions, if there are things that you, just like with a physical, if there are things about your health that are keeping you up at night, then you want to actually talk to your doctor about those so that you don't have to worry about it. If there are things about your life or your spiritual life that are keeping you up at night, that are causing you worry and stress, then this is a chance to let people know, to not suffer in silence. So if there's anything in life, if you ever, I'll get to you, just 1 minute. If there's anything in your life that you've ever thought, I could use some counseling for that, but I don't think it rises to the level of me needing to go say, I want to meet with the pastor or an elder for counseling, this is a good time to bring that up. And I know that can sometimes be uncomfortable depending on what it is. Sometimes it's, you know, things that we all struggle with. But this is a time to do that, to actually have your elders there, maybe even in your own living room, knowing that you can talk to them confidently, in confidence. You can know that they will pray for you. They will want to help you. So that's, did you have your question, Cheryl? Yes.
All right, is this, well, first of all, I'm really happy to hear that. Because that hasn't always been the case in the past in churches that I've been a part of. But is it going in pairs, elders generally speaking? And then I have
yeah. Ideally, yes. So it will be in pairs. It's a little hard because I live in Corona, but everyone else lives pretty far away.
Yes.
We do have an elder candidate who's in the back of the room, and the session has said that they are fine with Benjamin and me doing some of these as well. So they're okay with that. They think that makes sense given that he's, you know, as far as you can go without us being particularized to being an elder. So yeah, so we will do it in pairs.
And is it just families, or like say if you have church members that are older in your family that, you know, are you meeting with, you know, like the singles and
yeah.
College?
Yeah, it's for everybody. So
separately from the family or
it depends.
Okay.
Good question.
Yeah.
So it sort of depends, but it'll probably vary based on the situation. So if it would be helpful to do it separately, or if it would be helpful to do it together, then that's something we can talk about. So, but the way we're doing it is we want to focus first on people who are members, people who, you know, officially your elders are responsible for, who they will give an account for. And then, since we're a mission work, a church plant, we also know that there are plenty of regular attenders who, some are in membership classes, some are considering that, some are, you know, just regular attenders, and we want to do that for them as well. So that's kind of how it will go, and what it looks like really will vary. So if you have specific things you want to ask, let me know. Any other questions?
And then you, if I'm talking about this, you'll be teaching a full Sunday school on that topic, right? Or is this?
I am teaching a full Sunday school as we speak. Yeah, so the idea behind this summer is, to go back to the physical analogy, when you have a physical, if you haven't been to your doctor for 5 years, which if you haven't been to your doctor for 5 years, please go to the doctor. But if you haven't, then your physical is really just to establish a baseline, to say, this is where you are, and here are some things that would be helpful to you to do. There might be some emergency that you have to take care of pretty quickly, but if everything looks generally okay, your doctor would say, okay, here's something to have as a goal, and then we'll check in on it the next time we meet for this. That's exactly what we want it to be like for these visits, to say, you know, if you are asked, what do your daily devotions look like? And the answer is nothing. I don't do them. Then that's not going to bring down the hammer of church discipline on you. It's going to say, all right, how can we help you to start reading scripture on a regular basis and to start praying? So that's the goal, to establish a baseline and just to see how we can help to encourage growth. So I was tying this into something else. that is why we're pairing it up with the summer series on discipleship, because these are the things we're going to ask about. What does family worship look like for your family? What does, how are you doing with, you know, coming on Sundays? Have you ever thought about coming Sunday evenings? How can you be using your gifts to serve? So it's really just to get it all out there, and we want to give you resources to help you think through these things, so that you are already in that mindset of thinking, all right, God wants me to grow. How can I grow? And like a physical, these will not be long. It's not like you have to set aside a whole Saturday. That would be awful for you and for your elders, because it would be very tedious. These are just like no more than an hour. If it takes longer than an hour, it may, depending on the circumstances. But the goal is for it to be really brief, for it to be just helpful to you and not take up too much of your time. So the goal is for it to be pretty short. It is hard to imagine it lasting any longer than an hour. Now, the when is a big question. Like we said, we've got me here. We've got Benjamin as a candidate who lives in Corona, so that's helpful. But our session, Dave lives in Fallbrook, Kurt lives in Pasadena, and Chris Hartshorn lives the closest in Anaheim Hills. So the when is a big question. I think probably we're going to find that the summer is a time when we can get some of these in, but we are going to give ourselves and you grace to say, over the next year, we'll see how we can do before the end of this calendar year, but over the next year, we want to make sure that everyone, all members and all regular attenders, have been visited, or at least have been given multiple opportunities to be visited. So that's the when. There's more to come on that, but it'll be pretty individualized. But any questions on that? Because it is noon-ish, but any final questions? If you have more that you want to talk to me about one-on-one, that's fine. But that's kind of the goal, to care well for CPC and to help you to grow to full maturity, to see you grow as a disciple of Jesus Christ. Okay, no questions? Benjamin, could you close us in prayer?
Sure. Gracious Heavenly Father, thank you for this time, and once again, to gather together.